saying, when we all get to heaven, sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing his mercy and his grace, in those mansions bright and blessed, he will preserve for us in this.
Thank you.
Lord, we say thank you indeed for the cross and for Calvary and for everything it represents, Lord. It gives us great joy to think that the devil was defeated forever at the place called Calvary. Yes. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord. Lord, your word says that I have power to lay my life down and I have power to take it up again. And we thank you, Lord, on the third day you rose again according to the scriptures and you're seated at the right hand of the majesty on high this evening. Lord, you ever live to make intercession for the saints. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you're not a God that's afar off. And Lord, we thank you that you're not a God that takes a holiday. And neither is your line ever engaged. And you're never too busy. But Lord God, your word says that the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. And his ears is open to their cry. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Your word also says that you're a very present help in the time of trouble. And they call upon the Lord in the day of trouble. And I will answer thee. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the promises of your word. For we know that you're not a man that you should lie. Neither the son of man that you need to repent. Lord, thou alone art God, and you remain the same. We thank you, Lord, for help in days gone past. And we thank you, Lord, for the help even now today. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for help for tomorrow. Lord, for we couldn't live a day without you. Lord, life is only worth living just because you live. And Lord, indeed, Paul said, if there was no resurrection, then we would be of all men most miserable. But Lord, we know there is a resurrection. And Lord, our hearts are full of joy tonight. For Lord, we know, Lord, that one day we will see you face to face. And Lord, that we shall be like you, Lord. And we thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for the promises in your word. Lord, we ask you this evening that you'll pour out your spirit upon each and every one that's gathered here this evening. Lord, fill them with the joy of the Lord in Jesus Christ's name. Lord, we ask you, Lord, if there's any needing a special need, Lord, we pray, Lord, that you'll meet that need for that person. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. And Lord, whatever is needing in someone's life, we pray, Lord, that you'll bring it to pass in their lives. And we just ask you, Lord, also that you'll bless the preacher as he comes this evening and opens thy word. Lord, bless him with thy word in Jesus Christ's name we pray. And we ask you, Lord, for even us, the hearers of thy word, Lord, that you'll do us good in Jesus Christ's name. We ask you, Lord, you'll help us, Lord, even from, Lord, Sunday to Sunday, Lord, you'll help us, Lord, to be 24/7 Christians in the name of Jesus Christ. Pray, Lord, our minds and thoughts will always be in you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. And Lord, even as the little course says, Lord, when I lay my head down, and Lord, till we wake again, Lord, let our praise be, let your praise continually be in our mouth, we pray. Lord, we just ask you now, Lord, that you'll bless everything that's said and done, and may it bring glory and honour to your precious name. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. 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 We sing, blessed be the fountain of blood, the word of sinners redeemed. Amen. We sing it then, Ali. Brother Callie, come again. No, we sing that song again from last week, if you like, or if you've ever won us up to yourself. Blessed be the fountain of blood. Blessed be the fountain. can't make music. I can't make music.
You know, you may be. Is that the one you want me to?
Yes.
There's one thing I don't have one.
Right, so, yes, well, this one, what keys are there?
That's not the best. Huh?
Is this the same problem? That's only one verse.
Play my best, yeah. What should be here? Just gonna pause this time. The Lord knows my way. Life was shattered, all hope was gone, crushing the load that I bore. Then out of the depths I cried, give me something worth living for. Something more than my yesterday. More than I had before. Something more than wealth or fame. He gave me something worth living for. There with light at its lowest ebb, who could heal and restore? Then life came and ended my broken heart. It gave me something worth living for. Something more than yesterday, more than I had before. Something more than wealth or fame, he gave me something worth living for. Nothing's the same as before. My life overflows since Jesus came in and gave me something worth living for. Something more than my yesterday.
Oh,
you do know it. In times like these, you need a Savior. In times like these, you need a anchor.
Ian Kelly.
In times like these.
And touch his whole body, and rebuke pain and sickness in Jesus' precious name. We know, Lord, that it's by your stripes we are healed.
Amen.
Father, save every lost soul. Restore the backslidden and heal the sick. And fill your people with the joy of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus Christ's name. Lord, I take the Holy Spirit to help me. And I thank you that you do. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. I've read this many times in our services, but I'm going to read it again. This is a statement from the great preacher C.H. Spurgeon. This is what he says, and he preached this many, many years ago. He made this statement, but I believe that many scholars and students know that Spurgeon is called the Prince of Preachers, and that's a fact. There are some preachers who cannot or do not preach about the blood of Jesus Christ. And I have one thing to tell you concerning them. Never go to hear them. Never listen to them. A ministry that has not the blood in it is lifeless. And a dead ministry is no good to anybody. I hope there is never a Sunday but what I teach this one doctrine, until the tongue is silent in the grave, I shall no other gospel than just this: trust Christ, and you shall live. The bloody sacrifice of Calvary is the only hope for sinners.
Amen.
And tonight I want to preach about the blood of Jesus Christ. You say, brother, I've saved a long time, and I'm tired hearing about the preaching of the blood. That tells me you're backslid.
Amen.
Straight away. You say, Pastor, that's an awful statement to say that. When God's people tire listening about the blood and about the cross, they're backslid. Because Paul tells us the preaching of the cross,
amen,
is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us that are saved, it is the power of God.
Amen.
Many people say, I don't see the power of God today. Then you're not hearing the gospel. But the Bible is clear. It says the preaching of the gospel is the power of God.
Amen.
That is the power of God. And I believe when we preach the true gospel, that God will vindicate that true gospel. You don't vindicate it. As our brother Mark showed us this morning, you have no power of your own to do to save nobody. You can't do it.
Right.
How you couldn't save yourself. But it is God that saves. And God has given a method. And God's method to the world is crazy. And God's method to the world is foolishness. But the preaching of the cross is the power of God to them that believe. And I tell you tonight, from Genesis to Revelations, the scarlet thread of blood runs continually through the whole Bible, and it tells a story about the cross. You can look at the law of the first mention, and you can go to the book of Genesis, and you can see, for the first sacrifice was made. And if I was to say to you, who made it, you'd say evil, and I'd say, no, you're wrong. God made it. God was the first one to make a sacrifice. For God killed an animal and he took the skins of it and he clothed Adam and Eve when they realized they were naked. God was the first one. Then evil brought a bloody sacrifice to God. And Cain brought the fruit of the ground. And the Bible tells us that Cain offered well. But Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Praise God. And God testified of Abel's gift. Blood was what God required. And we see the whole trail from Genesis. And the Bible tells us in Genesis 9 verse 4. But the flesh were the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat. So your life is in you tonight because of your blood. People say we need the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. And they'll say amen. But you can never get the Spirit except you come by the blood. It is the blood of Jesus Christ Pentecost. But once you come to the blood, you're a candidate for Pentecost. That's sure enough true. Thank God for the blood of the Lamb. The life is in the blood. Yes, life is represented by blood. You know, if your blood goes out of your body, you're going to die. You'll no longer live because your life is in your blood. Leviticus 17, verse 11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. And the blood makes atonement by reason of the life which it represents. Now think of that for a moment. It makes atonement by reason of the life which it represents. And the life we're looking at tonight is not your life or my life or the life of an ordinary man. But we're looking and thinking about the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I've been thinking all week of this. Jesus was not in the Godhead. But the Godhead was in Jesus. There's a big difference. He was not in the Godhead, but the Godhead was in him. He was God manifested in flesh to destroy the works of the devil. And his life was given for an atonement so that we could have life. And the life is in the blood. Romans 3, verse 24 to 26. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith. And the word propitiation means to appease God. God needed to be appeased. God required to be appeased. Our sin took us away from God. We were on a distance from God. We hear so much today about keeping a distance. Well, we're at a distance from God. And men and women that's not saved are still at a distance. But Jesus Christ came to take away that distance.
Amen.
He became us that we might become him. He bridged the gap between God and man. And he became us that we might become him. Verse 25 of Romans 24, chapter 3. Whom God has sent forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. To declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past. Through the forbearance of God. To declare, I said, this time, the righteousness that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth on Jesus. Now to be justified means you are exonerated. When God says you are justified, that means it's as though you had never sinned in the first place. You are justified through the blood of Jesus Christ. Once you come and accept Christ, justifies you, and therefore he no longer sees you like you were, but he sees you perfect and complete in him because of his precious blood. This propitiation, pleasing God, pleasing him, that's what Christ became for me and you. The law demanded obedience or death. Jesus, a son of man without sin and son of God, required you both obedience for himself and death for us. He kept the law, fulfilled the law. He died for the lawbreaker. He gave himself, which was his life. A perfect life, a sinless life, was given so that we could have life. One sinner cannot save another sinner because he's a sinner. For you to be saved, someone that's sinless had to save you.
Amen.
And the only one that was sinless, it wasn't Abraham, and it wasn't Isaac, and it wasn't Moses, or Elijah, or one of the prophets, but it was Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The greatest, let me say it, the greatest of all Bible men is the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul the Apostle, there's one verse, and here's what he said, that Jesus is the chiefest of all apostles. An apostle means a sent one.
Amen.
God sent his only begotten Son.
Yes.
John 3:16. But we're going to quote verse 17.
Amen.
God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him
yes.
might be saved.
Amen.
That's why he came. He came to save you and me, mankind, from hell, the whole way to heaven. I hear a preacher once saying, this man rang me some time back, and he started to tell me, you need to preach more about hell. And our group preached strong about hell. They told me all this, but how strong they preach about hell. But my Bible tells me that hell was not made for man. God never made hell for man. Did you know that? Maybe that surprised some of you, but that's the Bible. Hell was not made for man. Hell is made for the devil and the fallen angels, according to the book of Jude and other books of the Bible. But every Christ rejecter will go to hell.
That's right.
That's his own choosing.
Amen.
But Jesus bridged the gulf. There was a gulf, a great gulf between God and man, and Christ came to bridge that gulf at the cross. 2,000 years ago, by the shedding of his precious blood, he bridged the gulf. Galatians 1:4 tells us, who gave himself for our sins and he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God, our Father. So the Bible calls this world an evil world. Now, if the Bible was called an evil world in the times of the writing of this book, how much more is it an evil world tonight? It's an evil world tonight. Aren't you glad this world's not your home? We're just a passing through. Aren't you glad there's something beyond this life? And if you're really saved and washed in the blood of Jesus, the life of Christ is in you. And that is eternal life.
Amen.
Him that hath the Son of life.
Amen.
Him that hath not the Son of not life, but the wrath of God or the judgment of God is on that person. But thank God if you've got the Son of God, you've got life. Titus 2 verse 14. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us. And redeem means to buy back. And we had to be brought back. We were sinners. We were lost. We were away from God. We were at a distance from God. Our sin put us at a distance. Your sin, my sin, put us at a distance from God. And there's no works that we can do of our own to bring us close to God and near to God. Nothing me and you could do would appease God. But Jesus Christ took our place.
Amen.
God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Amen.
Everlasting life. That's something that can't run out.
Yes.
Our life here is going to come to an end unless the Lord takes us in the rapture. Our life will end, and we're saved. We know we're going to be with the Lord. But our life is ending. We're dying. And you say, oh brother, I'm not dying. You are. From the day you were born and you hit a certain age, you go backwards, not forward. That is why you have to be saved. And Paul says, who shall deliver us from this body of death? We're in a pest house. We're living in it. And we do all we can with it, but it's getting older. And it's dying. But thank God that Jesus Christ conquered both death, hell and the grave, and he has redeemed us with his precious blood.
Amen.
And though our body goes to the grave, there's going to be a resurrection. 1 Corinthians tells us, for this corruption shall put on incorruption, this mortal shall put on immortality. Because of what Jesus done, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Jesus Christ did this 2,000 years ago at the cross. When he became our substitute at the cross, his life was given to save our lives. There was no other way to do it. You know, I listened again, and I mentioned this on Wednesday night, but I listened again, the testimony of that wee nun. And the brother that shared it tells you on the tape before he plays her testimony. How many remembers her name? Charlotte, Sister Charlotte. He says that 2 years after after her testimony was given, she disappeared. She was never seen again. But when you hear that woman's testimony, if you have a dry eye while you're listening, that I'm in doubt if you're saved or if there's any movement in you at all, I can tell you to bring a tear to a stone. You know, I think this is wrong with a lot of Christians today that don't know how to cry. You know, when Paul preaches in the eagles, he said a strong eagle always cries. It looks up to heaven and it cries and it weeps before God. And the Bible talks about weeping under the Lord. And the Bible calls Jeremiah the weeping prophet. And I know you can't do it like an act, but when God really moves someone, it can bring tears to the eye, can't it? And I tell you, when I heard Charlotte's testimony again, I heard it before, I cried when I heard it. She said, I wasn't a bad person. I never wanted to be a nun, to be a bad person. And she said, many priests do not join the priesthood to be bad. They don't join it for that. And then she got into it, and she learned the 14 stations of the cross. And if you've never heard of them, well, they're something the Church of Rome invented. And they're called the 14 stations of the cross. And she said she used to walk them, but once she became a nun, she no longer walked them. She crawled them on her knees. And you can read this if you want, but the 14 stations of the cross is quite a bit to crawl on your knees. And she crawled them on her knees to try and do penance and become closer to God. And she said she prayed to all the statues, but after some time praying to the statues and no answer came back, she realized they were dead images.
Amen.
And God, rich in mercy, saved that wee woman.
Amen.
And he delivered her supernaturally.
Amen.
By the power of God. And she broke out of that jail she was in. Actually, I think she broke her arm getting out, climbing over the gate. And her body was afflicted, and I can't tell you everything, and you probably couldn't tell at all, the children in the room anyhow. But I tell you, she was evilly treated. Under something that's called religion. My friend, my brother, my sister, those listening in this evening, it's not religion we need, it's Jesus Christ we need. It's not an encounter with a Pope or Rome we need, or a priest we need, but it's an encounter with the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That every man and woman needs. Only the blood of Jesus can cleanse a sinner clean. Thank God for the power of the blood. And Charlotte come to know Jesus Christ as her Savior, and was washed in the blood of Jesus. And my, when she tells you to pray for those other wee nuns, the different people, I think we should do. Because many today are in absolute darkness. We're privileged, so privileged.
Amen.
You see, people nearly take an ocean at me when I lift up Martin Luther so much, or to all the messengers. But I can't stop it. Because for me, none of them were in the darkness he was in. Luther was in pure pitch black darkness. You say they all were. Oh, but you see, he was in a system that very few ever come out of. A monk of the Augustine order, but God in his mercy opened the scripture to them.
Yes,
and in one scripture,
yes,
the just shall live by faith.
Amen.
God delivered that man.
Amen.
And I tell you what a man of God he was. And I have many of his writings at home, and people say, oh, but he said this is not about the Jews. That'll not worry me one bit. I'm not saying I agree with some of the things he said, but he surely come out of darkness.
Amen.
And he nailed the 95 theses on the door of Wittenberg. God gave him the courage to do it from the darkness.
Yes.
My friend, this evening, maybe you're listening in this service, and you could be in absolute pitch darkness, but the word of God says Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And I tell you, when he comes in, he'll light you up.
Hallelujah.
Inside and all over.
Oh.
And his blood will cleanse you.
Amen.
Wash you and forgive you.
Amen.
And he'll clear your conscience.
Mm-hmm.
No other priest can do that.
Right.
Only our high priest.
maketh none ashamed, for the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So I love Romans 5, you know, it says, scarce weep for a righteous man but one die, yet peradventure for the good man some would even dare to die. But Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. He didn't die for us because we were good. He didn't die for us because we were righteous. But while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for the sinner. He loves the sinner. He hates the sin, but he loves the sinner. This idea that God hates the sinner is a lie. God loves the sinner. The deepest, darkest sinner. God loves him. He loves him. And he wants to save them. Jesus Christ did this 2,000 years ago on the cross when he became our substitute. His life was given to save our lives. His life saves our lives. Hebrews 9, verse 12 to 14. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. A fellow said to me, no blood, Tom. You're preaching too much about the blood. You need a new revelation. We've moved on, he says. We don't preach about the blood no more. He said, no blood can ever have it. I said, that's very good, but it's very false.
Amen.
I said, you're taking that from a statement of some man, but I'm going to take you to this book.
Amen.
I will read the book. And this here's not the newspaper. This is not the latest edition.
Amen.
This is the infallible, impregnable, living word of the living God.
Right, right.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Amen.
Amen.
This is the amen of amen.
That's right.
Here's what this book says. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered once into the holy place. Now this holy place is not the tabernacle down in the earth here. I want you to get this. No, this is something a wee bit higher. For he entered with his own blood. Just as the priest could not enter the tabernacle. Hear me this evening. The earthly priest, the natural priest that in the tank, when he could never just go up to the veil and sprinkle the blood on it and go in. No, it didn't work like that. He had to offer for himself, then the people. But this priest, Jesus Christ, never ever once had to offer for himself because he knew no sin. All the work he'd done, all the offering he'd done was for me and you.
Amen.
Never for himself. He knew no sin. And there's a false preacher, he still lives, he's a brave age, he lives over in America, and I better watch, I don't name him, but his name should be shouted from the housetops.
Amen.
He said Jesus had to go to hell to get born again. Now when he made that statement, I would never listen to that man ever preaching again, not once. He's false. Jesus never ever had to be born again, for he never was lost. He was incarnate God in flesh. Isaiah 9 verse 6. And I tell you, that same old voice, still multitudes following him. He said he would blow in COVID-19. He'd blow it out and he'd run over a pulpit in America. Blowing and puffing. Well, did he blow it out? He didn't blow it out. He talked the biggest load of waffle. False prophet. And multitudes go to hear him. I preach here Wednesday night. False teachers in the last days. Perilous times warned about them that they'll be in the church. I tell you, Jesus never had to be born again. He knew no sin. He went to hell to get the keys of the devil. He went down into the deepest caverns of the dam, and the devil hid in the corner. And I tell you, Jesus stepped up to him and he took the keys off him. He stripped them. And he took the keys of death, hell, and the grave. And he rose triumphant over the foe. And my Bible says he broke the bars asunder.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
That's right.
And he set the captives free.
Hallelujah.
But by his own blood he entered once into the holy place. having obtained eternal. Oh, now I want you to get this, eternal redemption.
Amen.
For us.
Amen.
You see, the earthly priest had to go back the next year and back the next year, but Jesus Christ done it once, once for all.
Amen.
So when a wee man stands at the front claiming the Pope has invested in the power, now hear me this evening, and he says, I will now work the act of transubstantiation. That means that he will turn the wafer into the literal physical body of Jesus, and it's locked away in a safe. They keep their wafers in a safe case of mouse would eat one of them, and it would live forever. I want to tell you, there's no pope or no priest can turn no wafer into the literal physical body of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ can never be offered again. I want you to get that this evening. Christ can never be offered again, because the Word of God says, having obtained eternal redemption for us, offered once, once and for all. Never to be offered again. Jesus has done it.
Amen.
And he'll not do it again, for he doesn't need to.
That's right.
Your salvation's paid for, so's your healing.
Thanks, Lord.
By my stripes you're healed.
Amen.
Psalm 53, 1 Peter 2:24. He his own self bore our sins in his own body, and we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed.
Amen.
The Lord's our healer. The Lord's our Savior.
Amen.
And it's because of that blood we have access. Because of the blood. Verse 13. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling, the unclean sanctified, the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit, hallelujah, through the eternal Spirit, offer himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from the works, from dead works, to serve the living God. Amen. Eternal Spirit, there's God for you. There's only one eternal Spirit, not two.
Amen.
One. He offered himself through the eternal Spirit. I tell you, once and for all. And he can clear your conscience. One sinner cannot die to save another sinner, but Christ, being the sinless one, died for all sinners who will receive him. All that will receive him, he'll save. He will save all. Praise God. He knew no sin, but he became sin. He knew no sin, but he became sin. He took our sin.
Yes.
Praise God. I don't know how to switch this heater on. He becomes sin. You know, when you look at Jesus on the cross, there's so many sermons of Christ on the cross. You don't really hear a lot of people preaching about the cross these days, do you? And going really into the detail, but there's hundreds of sermons in it. One of the things that blesses me with the cross was the vinegar. Because when I studied the vinegar, it wasn't vinegar that you put in your chips. It was a narcotic made by the women of Israel. It was a substance made, wine mingled with myrrh, a substance made to numb the senses, so that the victim wouldn't feel the pain of the suffering. And Jesus refused to drink, so that he could feel the pains and the agony of humanity, so that he could say that he is our high priest.
Amen.
That's touched in all points.
Yeah.
And feels all. And suffered it for me and you.
Amen.
All their pain, all their sickness, all their sins was laid on him on the cross. My friend, this evening, that's enough for you, isn't it?
Amen.
Or will you need to give it a wee prop up? Will you need the works to go with it? A stick of false religion.
That's it, hit it.
Or will you bring a ladder in? Not when you get to the top rung, you'll be ready. I tell you, there's no wrongs in this life.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is my way to heaven.
Hallelujah.
Amen. No other way than Christ.
Hallelujah.
No other.
That's right.
tell you, it's enough for me. One sinner can't save another. Romans 3:23 tells us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Oh, but I know a good man. Well, that's a lie to start with. For Jesus said, there is none good. No, not one.
Glory!
The best man you can show me, I'll feel.
That thought of heart.
He'll feel.
Amen.
Has he ever told a lie? He ever looked at somebody he shouldn't have? Ever done something he shouldn't have done? Well, I tell you, Jesus, you can ask all that and he passes everything. He passes them all.
Amen. Glory.
Somebody, you know, there's a fellow and he started to pick out all the faults and all the men of God. And I said to him, you're a very poor man. And he said, why is that, Brother Tom? Because I said, you've been getting yourself in there. I said, do you think you're better than David? Or Jeremiah, one of the prophets, catch yourself on. I said, every one of them's written in this book. David did what he did. All of them did what he did. Because there's one coming that wouldn't fall.
Amen.
The Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And he kept outshining the rest.
Amen.
Amen. That's right.
I know a man and he made films years ago. And he took all the men and women of God in his films. And he's well known. I'll not mention his name. And he brought out all the great things about them, but then he started to tell, now here's where they went wrong. Now, bless your heart, if a man that God has used to win multitudes, and a boy can't win too, I don't think he's any ground to ridicule the other. What do you think? And he brought out all their faults and all that was wrong, and they shouldn't have done this, and oh yes, but there's for they went wrong at this point. And the next thing you knew, he was a homosexual. When you start to touch God's service, be careful. For the word of God says, touch not my anointed, nor do my servants, nor my prophets no harm.
That's right.
For a better a millstone was thrown around your neck. We heard this morning about Jesus. When Jesus delivered that man of the Gadarenes, the madman, the maniac, and he cast all those legion of demons out of him, they didn't come up and give him a badge and a trophy. They said, leave our coast. Get out of here! They didn't want him. And I tell you, a lot of the world we're living in today doesn't want Jesus. This wee country here is under queer judgment. You say, brother, is it? Absolutely. There's hardly a street, there's hardly a town for the gospel's not preached on a Saturday. Open airs are everywhere. Churches are everywhere. And still look at the condition. It's called sin. But remember this here, as it was in the days of Noah. As it was, so shall it be. History's coming round again. I tell you this evening, there's only one person I can show you, that's the Lord.
Amen.
Don't you look at me. I'm no better than nobody else, and neither are you.
Amen.
A sinner saved by grace. Paul said, of sinners, who was the chief? He said, I'm the biggest sinner of you all. But God's given a special grace. And no one else, God told him. He says, Paul, you're going to suffer a lot for my name, but you're a chosen vessel. Aren't you glad to conceive?
Amen.
Never give up on it. All have sinned. There is none righteous, no, not one. Jesus was the great antitype of the blood of the Jewish offerings and sacrifice. And the blood of animal sacrifices under the old covenant was temporal. Only temporal. And all these Old Testament sacrifices were temporal, but they all point to Christ and the cross. Now listen to me. And many a preacher said this, and I'm saying it. Start wherever you want in this book, but you better finish for Christ and the cross. You hear me? Not I, or he, or us. We're the elect, and people talk about so much, we're the elect, and the Lord's never named.
Right.
Don't forget the elect chosen in him.
Amen.
It's all about him.
Amen.
Not about the elect, it's about him.
Yes.
It's because of him you're elect.
Amen.
It's because needs to be lifted. All point to the cross. The blood of Jesus Christ was shed once for all to put away sin. Redemption through the blood. There's no other way. This redemption work of Christ delivers us from the guilt, from the penalty, from the power and the consequences and the presence of sin. You say, can I overcome sin? Absolutely. Where would you get that in the Bible? Sin will have no more dominion over you. That's the word of God. Where else? Death will have no more dominion over you. Says that as well, because he's conquered it.
Amen.
Oh, thank God he's done it for us. I'm closing in a moment. My time's up and I'm closing. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. For as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, precious blood. The Bible calls it the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. No other could you say that about. Precious blood. Oh, I tell you, but many have trodden it underfoot. Let me find that verse, as I'm going to miss out, and you know, this evening I missed out so many things, and I didn't want to be too long tonight. Hebrews 10, verse 28, and I'm going to cut the close. Hebrews 10, verse 28 to 31. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who have trodden underfoot the Son of God and have counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and have done despite unto the Spirit of grace? For we know him that saith, vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, saith the Lord again. The Lord shall judge his people.
Amen.
And it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Don't turn down the message of the blood, or there's no hope for you. Oh, but we've another message. No, no. You cannot come into no other message if you haven't come through the blood. You have no message. I'm going to say it again. It's only by the shedding of the blood there's remission of sin.
Amen.
No other way.
Amen. Absolutely.
Oh, but brother, we have a message, and it's not to do with the blood. Well, then it's not a message.
Amen.
Jesus Christ gave us life freely on the cross 2,000 years ago, so that we could have God's life coming in us. Now listen to me, and I broke down here, but I don't even need these notes to tell you this. When the priest sacrificed the lamb in the Old Testament, that lamb's blood was shed, it was used on a basin, whatever way he worked it, God accepted it temporarily. But each year it had to be re-offered, but the lamb itself that was offered died and went into the ground and perished. There was no life for it to come back. But that's not the case with Jesus. When the blood shed of Jesus broke on the cross, the life of God himself was released to the church. The Greek word Zoe, which is God's life. Now let me give you the scripture and I'll close. Romans 8, verse 9 till 11. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you, now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Verse 11. But if the Spirit, here's your verse, but if the Spirit that of him that raised of Jesus from the dead dwell in you, if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead, that's the Spirit of God,
amen,
dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body by that Spirit that dwelleth in you. Not out there, in you.
Amen.
Where is it? In you. You say in you. That's what the Bible says.
Amen.
Didn't he say it shall be a river, a well, within you? You see, when Jesus shed his blood, there's a Spirit that come back. When he died, that Spirit come back. then that spirit comes in the true believer. That's the spirit of God. That's just what quickens you. Verse 14. For there's as many as are led by the spirit of God, they're called the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby ye cry, Abba, Father. The spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Verse 17 of Romans 8. And if then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. That spirit's going to reach you. And it's in you tonight. When somebody says, oh, but the Holy Spirit never come on anybody or in them yet. Well, that's a lie. You're not saved. The Spirit of God never moved you. Did you realize that? It takes the Spirit of God, now I'm going to come with the baptism. It takes the Spirit of God to move you to get saved. Now there's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We know that. I've been told that. But the Spirit of God must move a man for that man or woman to be saved. Amen. Just like we heard this morning, the preacher does his part. But it's the Spirit of God that does the saving. So when you say, well, that preacher preached, but nobody could see him. Well, is it his fault? Well, it's quiet, but I'm going to put you out again. Is it his fault nobody gets saved? Well, he's not great at a great job, but many nobody gets saved. How many get saved when you preach? See, you have to watch how you work. Because if you're going to put it on a man, then it's on you as well, for you're a man. And it's on every one of us. But it's Christ that does the saving.
Amen.
And if we do our part, preach the word of God faithfully,
right.
God says he will add to the church.
Amen.
Not bear you.
Yes.
He says he will add to the church such as should be saved.
Amen.
Brother so-and-so saved a lot of people. He never saved one. That's not right.
That's right.
There's no preacher saves a lot of people that God doesn't. You see, a man came one time to Nicholson. And he said to W.P. Nicholson, he said, I've seen one of your converts down round the road the other night, drunk, he says. Nicholson said, praise God. That's what he said, praise God. And the boy says, what? Why would you make a statement that not praise God? He says, well, he wasn't one of mine. He wasn't one of the Lord's. That's why you've seen him down drunk. But he said, if he had been the Lord's convert, he wouldn't have been drunk.
Amen.
Now, we don't want a man's convert, we want a God's convert.
Right.
And you don't want to pick up the spirit the pastor has, but you want to pick up the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Not the pastor's spirit, but you want the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Not my spirit, the Holy Spirit, or some other man's spirit. You need the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And you need Christ as your Savior. You need Jesus yourself. Nobody can receive him for you. God has no grandchildren. Let's come and stand our feet and bow our heads tonight. Jesus says, my blood, you know, it'll wash your sins away as far as the east is from the west, as a thick cloud. So my blood and I die in righteousness as a thick cloud. God blots it out with his blood. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. My friend, if you're listening into this message tonight and you're not saved, the most important thing for you is to be saved. There's a day coming when every man and woman is going to stand before God. Religion won't do. I belong to the group, it won't do.
Amen.
He's looking for the blood mark.
Hallelujah.
The blood mark. Are you washed in the blood of Jesus? The blood of Jesus cleanses from all sin. I'm going to ask for this service tonight. If anyone needs prayer, just lift your hand up to the Lord. God bless you. God bless you. And if there's anyone listening in this meeting tonight, God can touch you. If you're not saved, come to the Savior. Come to the Lord. Call upon the name of the Lord. Romans 10:9, and you shall be saved. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for your precious blood.
that cleanses us from all sin and all unrighteousness. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ for every hand that's raised this evening, that you'll meet every need in Jesus' precious name. Father, there's hands raised on the airwaves tonight listening in. Lord, may you give them the saving grace.
Hallelujah.
And may you bring them to the Savior. Lord, we're not presenting a movement or an organization, but you said, if I be lifted up, Jesus Christ, I will draw all men unto me. Lord, we have tried tonight to lift up your name, for your name is above every other name. Neither is there salvation in any other name, for there's no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. Father, I pray for those in need of touch in their bodies this evening. Lord, I believe you're a Savior, you're a healer, you're a baptizer in the Holy Ghost, and you definitely are the soon coming King.
Amen.
Father, touch that man and touch that woman in Jesus' precious name. Lord, bless the nurses, bless the doctors, bless all that's in this room and all that's represented with these services and those listening in. Will you bless them? Will you cover them with your blood? Lord, we do ask for our children tonight. Father, that you will save every one of them.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless each one. As a brother Gary comes, don't forget our Wednesday night service or prayer and Bible study. Please make an effort, those that can come. And the Lord bless. Next Sunday morning, our brother Ian will be bringing the word. And the Lord bless each one. God bless you.
Let us sing that hymn, Come to the Saviour, make no delay, hearing his word, he has shown us that. Just saying a couple of minutes. we're saying Mass for Brother Jeff, King Closing Prayer, and then we'll sing another verse before us, that's what we
Warmers, Lord.
Amen.
Help us to be a heart, Lord.
Amen.
Help us to